Ah, yes. It's that time again. Everyone's favorite time we can review. And, of course, as always, my co-host, Mr. John Hill. John, how you doing today, my friend?
Well, we're getting over last Tuesday's council meeting. There were a few surprises that came up during that meeting. And we're going to be talking about one of the major issues today, and that's the reemergence of the attempt to save the park theater, they call it. That's going to be an issue that we thought was dealt with, mm-hmm. but it turns out that it's reared its ugly head
again.
Now,
is the Save the Park initiative, is that an actual thing that people are going around trying to raise funds?
Well, how's that? That's the problem, and I think we'll get into that, Jim. Idea is that there is a building down there that certain groups, last year it was the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario, said that they wanted to have it saved because it is an excellent example of an Art Moderne building, and we don't want to tear it down. It would be akin to tearing down Victoria mm-hmm. Hall. And so those were the kinds of issues that they were raising. Now, a lot of the same people have come back to the council again last Tuesday. And their argument was, well, this is a building that we have to save. Let's call ourselves the Friends of the Park Theater, and we are going to have council come up with some sort of a solution to get it into our hands without having to spend a lot of money in doing so.
Well, I tell you right now, we have two special guests in studio with us, and of course, the owner, if you will, of the Park Theater,
right.
Mr. Rocky Varco, and Brian Lambert. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You know, it's our pleasure to have you here, Rocky. I'm going to tell you right now, I've enjoyed the Park Theater under your tutelage. I never went to the Alcatraz, I think they called it, when it was thriving, I guess, as they say. I wasn't living here then. And I'm a big theater movie buff, much as John is, he'll contest. And I like the idea of live acts, April Wine, the Stampeders. We've had a lot of people in the Park Theater. And again, like the town says, it would be a shame to have it removed. Some of the issues that you're going with as far as the park that you see.
Sure. Well, it's been a love-hate for me also. I've been public as to how the building came into my possession about 14 years ago now. And I've done my best over the past 14 years to, the Alcatraz nightclub was a lease, was not me. Mm-hmm. I leased it to an individual that didn't make a go of it. And so that's when I made my decision to turn it back into a theater. We did do our studies. We did our community study, and we thought that we asked, would people support a local theater group? We know that you have thriving local theater groups. And our intent was never to compete with any of them. It was just to offer more of a music hall performing arts center. And as you mentioned, we did manage to bring in the people like the George Kenyons and the Headleys, if you will. Mm-hmm. This is the smallest venue Headleys played in the past, I think, probably 6 years was right here in Colbert.
And it was a great success.
It was. I got a 3 a.m. call from the local police telling me, what am I going to do with these kids that are lined up blocking all the doorways on King Street?
Yeah. John?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I seemed to come out last year, and it seemed to come out again this year, was that unless you want to join us and join on the bandwagon of Save the Park, that suddenly you must be against the arts if you don't support us. Now, this probably applies more to our CTA friends, the Quebec Taxpayers Association. And Brian Lambert, as of breaking news, yesterday was appointed as a new director of the CTA. Brian, I'm going to throw it at you. We've heard that Rocky is a real supporter of the arts. Is the CTA against the arts?
Hi, John. The CTA is definitely not against the arts. I think all of the members and associates of the CTA support the arts in all of its weird and wonderful variations. The issue in this is, again, is it appropriate use of the town's money?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the argument is not new. And actually, Councillor McCarthy, a year ago, framed it very nicely. She wrote a fairly extensive opinion on it, which she gave before council. And her basic tenor was, you've got it backwards. You want us to buy this thing first without figuring out what you want, what the study is. You have no business plan. You have no vision. You have no funding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she says, this is what the Park Theater needs to do. If it can develop a solid business plan with private investment, why doesn't the group go forward and find investment dollars to pull this off? Okay. That would seem to be the appropriate way to go. That's how the...
Well, they're looking for the town to be their investment dollars.
That's exactly the it. You know, the town has deep pockets, okay, mm-hmm. as opposed to going the route of the Capitol Theater in Port Hope, for example,
mm-hmm.
okay, which does get support from the town in terms of a grant, about $50K,
mm-hmm.
okay, but they get substantial funding from private resources and from the corporate sector like Cameco.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Deborah's thrust was, you know, follow that model. It's
well,
a
you
good
know,
one.
And that makes perfect sense to me, John.
Well, the thing is, Jim, the Friends of the Park Theater came up with a rather novel approach of how the town can acquire this building at their last meeting. And I'm going to throw this at Mr. Varco. The tenor of the comment was, well, we can get it by way of a tax sale, or we can hound them with bylaw infractions so it makes it so uncomfortable, he'll just have to turn it over to us. Mr. Varco, what's your comment on that?
Well, it was just happened by choice. Every few weeks, when I come down to the building, I go and I Google and see what's happening with the park and what's the comments and where are the blogs. And then I noticed that council's agenda. I own the Snap to magazines now in Oshawa and in Port Perry and in Clarington now, the three big newspapers in the area. And so I get all the news from Coburg, and I happen to see the Park Playhouse on the agenda. So it kind of surprised me, so I did some further investigation, because no one from Friends of the Park have ever contacted me. The only one I've ever met, Lynn Hardy I met at one time years ago, and I met Don Owen, of course, because of our relationship across the street with his pub, and a great both terrific people. But I was a little surprised that they were going to town and, to the town, and they were actually asking them to, as you said, John, either enforce strictly, or the word that she used diligently to make me sell, or to use a tax sale. Both of those options are viable and open to the town if they choose, but they both take a long time. It's a 1 year, 2 year, so I often wonder, as council gets to the close of its session here in June, do they need an hour or two taken up and all the resources for the Friends of the Park at this point, without even contacting me, mm-hmm. the owner of the property, to see if I have an opinion, or perhaps maybe I could work with them. Maybe we could do a lease at some point until we raise the funds from the community, as Brian had said, where the Cameco's of the world can step up. Many years ago, 27 years ago, Oshawa Little Theater in Oshawa, Ontario, wanted to build their own building. They were working out of, much like Northumberland Players, here and there and everywhere. And they went, and 10 people stepped up and put their name at a bank. They $50,000 each, personally signed $500,000 to build that building. They paid it off very quickly. 10 people worked real hard, and they had that mortgage paid off in less than 5 years. But again, they didn't go to the city. They didn't go to the town to do it. They just went and said, we want this. We're going to put our money where our mouth is, and we're going to make it happen. Now, John, if I can just say one more thing, and Brian, this is to disagree with you a little bit, is that I think community, and if you know any my background from chairman of the Lake Ridge Help to Rotary Presidents to winning awards that only given to one person a year from YMCA, only given to one person a year from Canadian Blood Services. So I've done my philanthropic bit back in Whitby and Durham region. But what makes a community is not just swimming pools, and it's not just hockey rinks. And those are a drain. If you ever looked at what a swimming pool costs the community as opposed to a hockey rink, which can be a profit center, but I assure you, that theater, if the town was to back it and say to them, listen, you've got 3 or 5 years to get my money back, but I'm going to seed it, I'm going to get you in there, I think it would be a positive investment, because like Don said, the downtown thrives when it's done. People wanting to move to Coburg are saying they have a beautiful little, because they moved to Port Hope for that reason, so they'll move to Coburg.
Now, do you not find in your own experience, since you've taken over the park, it's seasonal?
it shouldn't be seasonal. It's 300 days a week in Port Hope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's seasonal because I made it seasonal because I was on the risk at each and every one of the events that I couldn't have the staff of six or seven because, again, you can bleed so much. But, again, I was always considered an outsider here, guys. I was always considered the guy from Whitby that owned our temple.
Mm-hmm.
So there were people who were naysayers right from the get-go. But when I renovated that place and I put in those 22-inch seats, not 18, not 19, not 20, like many theaters, I put in 22 because that's what we need today. I put 3 feet between seats so you can step in front while somebody's still sitting down.
Yeah.
And that was a conscious effort on my part to make it comfortable. That place used to have 700 seats when it was the Park Theater. I only have 397 in the same space.
One of the things that you brought up is that it's not a hockey rink. And I think this is where the CTA comes into it because the CCC, our local community center, is bleeding about $1 million a year instead of making a profit. And I think this is one of the areas that the CTA is concerned with, that if we suddenly have the town take over the Park Theater, are we not getting into a situation where there'll be more red ink spilled?
So it's sort of like another CCC at this point.
The CCC is one issue, certainly. Probably something closer to home is the concert hall at Victoria Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It runs stuff. It loses money to the tune of $125 a year. Okay. On the other side, one of the letters of support cited the Shaw Festival in Niagara-on-the-Lake and said, you know, this was the savior of Niagara-on-the-Lake and everything else. Personally, I think the wine aficionados would say it had more to do with the winery tours.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
But neither. The Shaw has been excellent for Niagara-on-the-Lake. The Shaw started as a production company. They did 8 shows, and they did it in a local town hall very similar to the concert hall. And they were there for like 10 years before they built their own building.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is what Deborah was trying to address and put forward, is that performing arts groups should get their act together and actually have some shows, have some things, stage them locally in whatever venues are available.
Well, they have those going on now at the fire hall, though, Brian.
They have it in the fire hall. There's no reason why they couldn't use the concert hall. There's no reason at all why they couldn't use the bowl at the CCC
mm-hmm.
for a large event.
Now,
okay?
Do you think cost is a factor here?
I think that, as Deborah has pointed out, these people don't have a business plan. The Friends of the Park don't have a business plan. They don't appear to have a vision. They have no fundraising. And I think they really have to get to that point before they start going and trying to get the town to basically do their dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should buy it on the open market. If they and Rocky can arrive at a deal, more power to them.
Now, with only 5 sessions left, do you think this has been, like, way too long? Like, John, you can verify this, that there's only about 5 sessions left for the town council to meet.
Well, they go into summer session July, and there's no council meeting this Monday. There will be no council session the following Monday. Then they will come back again for 2 weeks.
So do you not think this particular issue, as far as the park goes, do you not think that this should have been raised long ago?
Well, what I guess shocked us that sit at the press table was that it came up basically without warning.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a group that's willing to come on board and want to take over the Park Theater, one would have thought that there would have been some position papers put out, that Mr. Varco would have been contacted, the CTA would have been contacted. As far as I know, they just raised it. And now maybe our guest today can confirm whether I'm right in that. Was the Park Theater contacted? Was the CTA contacted?
No communication whatsoever from me. I have had conversations over the past with Ian Davey, with our CFO, and Ian's has always acted cordially and good to me. But never once was it mentioned that this was even being considered.
Mm-hmm.
As late as 2 weeks ago, Ian and I have talked. Gil and I have talked. Steve, the CEO, CAO, and I have talked in the past. I did get a phone call from them last August. last August, I remember I was sitting on my deck, and they asked me if I would consider donating the park to the city, and they would give me a tax receipt for the appraised value. And I said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was in no position to take that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think also, as John has indicated, the topic just kind of popped up on the agenda very late in the week, okay, without warning. And it seems sort of contrary to the usual route where things would have gone through.
Well, how did it make it on the agenda, John? I mean, normally these things are...
They came as a delegation, okay, and there are in the town's procedural bylaws and so on.
That's correct.
It's laid out how you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, 12.3 of that bylaw says, person seeking a delegation status shall be directed by the clerk to the appropriate committee. So one wonders, the appropriate chain would have been to a committee of some sort, and then to the committee of the whole, and finally to council. And somehow that chain of events didn't work.
Yeah, it cut out the middleman there, and it just sort of just
seems so
drifted on in there.
Well, the other thing that was strange at last Tuesday night's special council meeting wasn't special. It was just not held on Monday because of the holiday. But ordinarily, when a delegation comes like this, the usual procedure at the end is to refer the matter for information or accept the matter for information purposes. This time, the recommended action was to refer the matter to legislative services, which I found somewhat strange. And Brian, maybe do you know what referring it to legislative services means?
Yes, we were wondering what that meant, too. And if you search the town's websites, you come up dry.
Mm-hmm.
So we sent an email to Deputy Mayor Henderson for some clarification. And it came back, and basically what it means is it's a committee of the deputy mayor and the clerk and Ian Davies, the CFO, and I think the town solicitor may get in there as well and so on. And it basically looks after tax matters and such.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's where they've sort of shunted this is the beginning stages of consideration of, what could we do in terms of tax arrears and that sort of positioning. Okay?
Right.
Mr. Barker, you've talked about tax sales. Mm-hmm. Is that a possibility?
None. Zero.
Why not?
Well, because, again, there's currently a first mortgage on the property as of today, and they would never let it go to a tax sale, firstly, especially for $100,000. I mean, it just would be, against all logic for them to do that. So I know that from the time the town decides to move forward with a tax sale, there's at least a minimum of 12 months, which can be extended and extended and extended prior to them taking over the property. So I just felt this was a little ahead of the game I don't want to use the word sneaky because it could come back to haunt me, but it was kind of a little offside that they wouldn't call me and say, hey, here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to defend it or if you want to make a deal with us, let's do that. I think me being there on Tuesday, sharing how I would love to have this community take over that building, I think that doing an economic strategic plan for downtown without that theater is a waste of time. It's a waste of money. I think the only thing that can bring vibrancy to the downtown, the only thing that can bring vibrancy to the downtown Coburg is that building across from the park, the Park Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the relationship with the town has been a little bit tenuous with you,
mm-hmm.
economic development and so forth. Maybe you could just outline your dealings, past dealings with the town.
Well, back when I first did the renovation, when I first committed to the $350,000 renovation and seats came in from the U.S. and they're all being installed, I got a Mr. Lukes at the time was the building official, came up and said, Rocky, we can't get a sign-off from the fire department. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, they have this person, who, she's no longer with the town, but she worked for the fire department, and she said that your stage is considered a stage by definition because you call it a stage. And so a stage, by definition, needs to have all these special sprinklers and special systems besides. So I expressed to them that it's not really a stage, it's a riser. because it's still, the bylaw was very clear. If you can see 60% of it from the audience, it's not a stage. If you can, if it doesn't have wing space to move a flat, it's not a stage. We're confusing with Mervish, but they pushed and they pushed, and Frank, Mr. Luke said, Rocky, I can't get it passed. I can't give you your permit. So a year went by, and we, through Jim Dout, luckily, Jim, a wonderful man who was the architect, designer, he kept pushing on. I had lawyers involved, and finally we went downtown Toronto and sat in front of a court and sat in the judge. We all went down on the GO train together, actually, which was kind of ironic, and we sat in front of the judge, and the judge went, I don't remember his wording, but he was very, very upset with the fire department of Cobourg, very upset with Mr. Lukes for letting it get this far, and upset that they had caused the businessman to be out of business for 18 months while all this went on. So it backfired. In his reading, which you guys can probably find, I can't, he actually says you should consider a lawsuit, because this was so, it lasted 15 minutes. We walked in, I said my case, they said their case, and they made the decision in 15 minutes.
Cut and dry, as it were.
And then we all got back on the train and went back. So tenuous, yes, but I wanted to play. I've always wanted to play fair. I mean, if you look at my background, you look at the awards, and I've been fortunate enough to win, you'll know that I tried to play fair. I've committed over $1 million of my money into this building. And I have a 7-year-old still that's not finished school yet. I've got 3 out of school. But when I look at the economic development website, and I see my building listed for $500,000, and I look at the listing that's listed with a realtor at $795, and I look at the listing before for $795, and I look at the listing before that with CBRE for $999, and the one before that for $1,000,001, I don't see $500,000.
How did they come up with that number?
I don't know, other than maybe they were privy to the, I would think, a little bit of a confidential offer that was agreed to between the town and I, which was not necessarily arm's length, because there was some tax conditions in there too. So it wasn't really just $500,000, but that's the number that they put on the website. Now, I know I've contacted them and asked them to change it. I know Sandy Lawson, the real estate agent, has contacted them, asked them to change it, and be hung up on. So I know that the other buildings say $12 a foot. This building says $1.1 million. This building says one. They're not a real estate. Their purpose is to, for an outsider coming in, to expose them to properties that are available on the market. So I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure realtors do. But when you're putting misinformation out there like that, you're starting the bid at $500,000. And the building is not going to sell for $500,000. It'll be a vacant lot before it sells for $500,000.
So do you think that there was some sort of conspiracy against you with the putting a separate $500,000 and letting on, and that seems to be the figure that's bandied around.
It wasn't an accepted offer, so I understand. It was a conditional, deconditional, extended offer. I said to the French, to the mortgagee, the day it was signed, the minute it was signed, I turned to them, I said, this is not going to go. I don't know why everybody's wasting everybody's time. The conditions the town put on there, there's no way that the taxpayers or the people involved, the conditions were so deep. I don't know if you've had privy to that offer, but it was. I knew at that moment it wasn't going to go. It took them 3 months to say, okay, we're not taking it.
Now, do you think these conditions were placed because of who you are, or because of that's how they normally do it?
I can be honest.
Yeah,
I think
be
the
honest.
Conditions were put in there because they didn't want to buy it.
Right.
There's not a lot of... what's the word I'm looking for? There's not a lot of... They're worried about getting elected again.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to reach out and alienate one-third or one-quarter of the voters because they buy this little $500,000 building downtown Cobourg, they wanted to show, hey, we tried, we couldn't make it happen.
Well, they did the same thing with the medical building they were going to put beside the hospital.
Exactly.
And that was the same noise.
Yeah, it was the same noise, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The sticking points were much different.
Well, the point is that they had already hired a contractor back in November to make it happen and all this other stuff.
But that's the NMAI. And that's, as a private organization, group of doctors get together for an investment purpose. And
nothing
so on
changed,
and so
O'Brien. We're still paying for it.
The town was going to be in for $300K. The sticking point, as John will tell you, was a legal one.
Uh-huh.
The Municipal Act doesn't allow it.
Yeah, but
that's the long and short.
And I do get that. But what I'm thinking is that if they did allow it, you think the shovel still would have hit the ground? I mean, it's a moot point, basically, because it didn't happen. But if it was allowed,
I think there was a good case for it,
mm-hmm.
okay? And total benefit to the town and all of those good things, I think a reasonable case could have been made,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's not to take anything away from the park, okay? As Rocky has said, you know, there is value to, you know, there's an intangible value to the town and to the community as a whole to have a cultural resource like this.
Absolutely.
Okay?
I agree with that.
And I don't think anyone disputes that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as John started off at the beginning about a for and against, you know, if you're not for the park, you're against it by definition. I don't think that's true. I think the issue is, I think everyone would love to see the park, if it's possible to renovate it or use it, revitalize it, whatever words you want to use,
mm-hmm.
and have it a viable venue and so on, absolutely great, and a great thing for Coburg,
mm-hmm.
okay? And if some sort of synergy could happen between Port Hope's capital and the park, that would be marvelous, okay?
Brian.
So you have those things. The issue again comes back to whose pocket? Whose
Brian,
pocket's
are you opposed? Are you opposed to say the town supporting it, putting up the seed capital, call it that, so that now that they've got possession of it, even if it's in a lease situation or if it's in a balloon payment situation where they have to pay me in 6 months or a year or 5 years or whatever it is, are you opposed to that? Because now they're open to Trillium grants. They're open to there are more grants available federally, provincially, and even municipally.
Particularly now that
they're not
the
available
version.
To me as an individual, but they will be available to a community. And to a community of citizens.
That's fine if the Friends of the Park or whatever theater production group or arts production group were to evolve,
mm-hmm.
and they have access to all those things, go for it.
But they don't have access until they get control of the building. So my question is...
I don't think so. The Shaw developed as a production company, and it ran its productions, and it leased facilities.
Yes.
There's no reason
no
why...
No grants until...
I don't know that they did or didn't, okay?
I have applied for many grants to support me, and I've disqualified by every one of them.
And the Capitol Theater in Port Hope successfully has made this transition and so on.
Because it's owned by the town.
I don't believe so.
It's owned by the town.
The Capitol Theater?
Capitol Theater is owned by Port Hope.
Okay. Owned by Port Hope.
I stand corrected.
Absolutely.
You look at the Empire in Belleville. Privately owned, privately run, and from all accounts successful.
But look at the Regent Theatre in Oshawa is a better example. If you look at the appraisal that I had done recently, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, that appraised it at $1 million, they used the Empire as an example. They used the Regent Theatre in Oshawa. Here's a theatre in Oshawa that was so run down, I had to go in with hazmat suits because I was hired to sell it. We had to show it in hazmat suits. That's how bad it was in there. The place was an absolute dump. The ceiling had fallen in. They sold it no bigger than mine. They sold it downtown Oshawa for $2 million to the university. Now it's thriving.
Yeah. I think too, you look at the towns that are, you know, being talked about. You're talking about Oshawa. Oshawa's got a population of 300,000 plus, maybe. Okay.
You're close. 172.
Okay, but you take in that whole Whitby and that whole area.
It's
more.
Whitby has its own, though, right?
Yeah. So, Port Hope, Coburg, 18,000-ish each. Okay, Belleville is 50-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of the issue that there just isn't the economic, the critical mass. There's not enough people. It can only support one.
Well, I tell you right now, we are rapidly running out of time here. Just one quick question to Rocky. At the end of the day, when the smoke is cleared and the dust is gone, do you want to sell this building?
Yesterday.
Absolutely. John?
This has to be put in the hands of people who can run it, open it, make it vibrant, and bring the downtown back.
Yeah, well, it has a lot of potential for that. John?
Yes, thank both our guests today, Brian Lambert of the CTA and Rocky Varco, the owner of the Park Theatre, for coming in and contributing to this debate, because I think it was a little one-sided last Tuesday, and so our listeners have the opportunity
to weigh in
another side.
Absolutely.
A reminder, we won't be on Weekend Review next week.
That's true.
But again, I want to thank our guests and... wish you a good week off.
Well, I want to wish you all the very best as well, guys. And Rocky and Brian, I want to extend an opportunity for you guys to come back again, because I think we could have expanded more on this had we had more time.
Perfect. And if I come back without Brian, I'll be much more entertaining.
Well, we'll have to see how that works out. John, have yourself a great weekend, eh?
Thank you.